Oi, you. It's time for another episode of Dorothy and the Dealer. Let's tune into the conversation.
Hi, Mitchie.
Hello.
I'm seeing that you're thinking very tentatively there. I hope this
tentatively.
Tentatively. Like, just got, you're in deep in thought.
Mm.
What are you thinking about? You're trying to think of a song.
Yeah, I honestly can't think of a song. Can you think of a song? No, can't think of a song. Mate.
Really? How can you be blank with a song?
I'm just the only one that keeps coming into my mind is the fucking song that the kids keep singing at the moment, which is Señorita.
Señorita.
And Lex Lolla was meant to do it at a recital, yeah. But like a week out, the fucking headmaster rings her and goes, "No, we'll lose her license if she sings it."
I think that's probably fair. Have you heard some of the words?
No.
In that? Oh, I'll undress you with my lips.
Oh,
and
really?
Yeah. I love the way you taste and stuff like that. It's probably not appropriate for an 8-year-old to sing in front of the school.
Oh, fuck, I didn't know
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
All I keep hearing is...
Yeah, that's a good... They love that song. You know, my car rides with them. All I do is sing songs with them.
Yeah, yeah.
I taught them the sign language to one of the songs the other day, so they've learnt that off by heart now.
Yeah.
1,000 years. That's so cute. But they had their recital the other day.
Yeah, they were great.
And that was so cute. And I just love their resilience, you know, to be able to get up there in front of the whole school at 8 and 9 and just belt out a song, get it wrong. Like
Nola got it wrong, yeah.
Well, Nola didn't really get it wrong. There was the circumstances were really tough for her.
Well, I'd have had a teacher stopped it and said, she hasn't found her space. Let's give her another shot at it.
Yeah, she was disadvantaged because the microphone stopped working. The song, the music didn't start, and the poor little love, and she just handled it so beautifully.
Yeah.
And Lexi missed a cue at the start and then just got on with it, and that's just so lovely. So it was quite lovely, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was beautiful. Okay, what are we talking about?
Well, what are we talking about? So I think
this is it a concept, you know, of perfection?
Well, I think that it's a concept that we talk about a lot, right? Well, actually, we probably don't talk about it as much as we give people the experience of it. You know, when people come through and do some work with us, they get that everything that happened to them or anything that they'd perceived, anything that they had experienced in their life was an order to it. There was an underlying order to everything that happened, and it got them to where they are now.
Mm.
And they get a sense of perfection about the life that they've had. And, you know, we just had someone in a recent seminar who prior to coming in, you know, she said, you know, with everything that happened to me, she said, I didn't ever think that you guys said that you would be able to help me to get to that point. And I never really believed that it was possible.
Yeah, she said, I was coming into the event and I was coming in to prove you guys wrong.
Yeah.
No matter what you have done, my story, you were never going to be able to get me to see that what happened to me was a blessing and that and enabled me and empowered me and, you know.
Yeah, and it's funny because we hear that all the time, but we've worked with lots and lots of people who've been in her situation. It was a hairy situation. And
what,
I think
what,
that
what's hairy is that if it, you know, whatever the situation, you know, if you have, for example, a perpetrator, if you don't do anything about the situation, the perpetrator still got you, even if they're not in the room and they're not doing it to you.
Because, and the reason that happens is because your brain cannot differentiate between what it sees and what it remembers.
Yeah.
So every time you replay that, even whether it's consciously or subconsciously through any of your actions, you are consistently being placed and placing yourself in that same scenario. So anyway, we get to a place where, you know, we give people the experience that no matter what happened to them, there was love.
Yeah.
And whatever happens, that everything was perfect. Everything happened as it was meant to happen. So very clear to make the distinction about what we do. We never say that something was right or something was wrong. I've said this on a few occasions. I'm not saying that what happened to you was right back there. But what I'm saying to you is that it happened and you can choose how you want to
live your life.
Perceive it and whether you want that to be the foundation on which to have as an excuse so that you don't live the life that you is possible for you, or whether you use that as a stepping stone for you to live your best life.
Mm-hmm.
And what we give people the opportunity to do is to do that, is to give people the opportunity to say, yes, everything that happened to me was perfect for, because otherwise I wouldn't be here now. And that's not a head understanding, that's a heart understanding.
Yeah.
It's a really deep thing.
So when you say to a person that hasn't had that experience, those words, the thing that comes into their mind is, well, if everything is perfect, you know, and everything that I do is perfect, then, you know, crime is perfect, and, you know, me, I could go out tomorrow and I could murder someone or I could rape a person and that would be perfect.
Yeah, and so people get that misunderstanding about it.
And the truth about it is that that is the case, but you don't go and do that. I know that that's the case, that no matter what action I would take forward now in my life is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a reason I don't go out and do those things, and that's because I have a fucking conscience.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a conscience and you understand how your conscience works, you understand that that's why we don't do the things. Because when you harm another human being, you harm yourself twice. First in the act of harming them, and second in the act of watching them be harmed. That also harms you. So that's why we don't go out and do that. What we are saying, though, is that the things that have occurred within your life were designed, and you have them in your life not to spend your life being a victim and trying to fit into society because society wants you to do that, but to actually stand out and stand up and actually use them to create the life that you want.
Mm.
You know, because if you don't do that, then the event is still occurring because it still has a hold of you. It's still occupying your mind and space and time. Mm. And therefore, you're not able to create what you want within your life. And you're more loyal to the event than you are to actually getting ahead. Now, I know that this is generally known as what's called significance driven, where a person is driven by the event and what occurred, and that drives them. There's the, you know, the trauma, the drama. So that's what significance driven is. But when you're a person is significance driven, it's because they haven't seen the lesson or the blessing or what has occurred and how it's enabled them and equipped them. And when you see what how it's enabled you and equipped you, then it's kind of revealed to you what you're here to do and what your destiny is and the role that that event plays. And when you see the role that that event plays and its perfection, you would never want to undo it or fix it or mend it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So I think that the whole concept of it giving you free rein, I think where there's truth in that, in the sense of, you know, how we can describe it, is the fact that I know that there's no situation that a person can bring to me or to us and to the process that we use that we couldn't show them or give them an experience of where the perfection is if they're willing to look.
Yeah.
Right. So what I mean by that is no matter what happens, we can show them that there's perfection in what happens. But once you've had that experience, it doesn't give you a sense of, oh, well, fuck it. I'm just going to be able to do whatever I want now.
Go get my gun.
Because.
Where's my knife? I'm going to go stab me some people.
And the reason that is because there's a massive there's something that happens within the person when they have that experience, right? There's a transformation that occurs.
Mm.
And the transformation that occurs is one of love and gratitude, right? So when you have love and gratitude at that level and when you have that experience of love and gratitude, the way that you go about in the world transforms.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? So like you just said, it means that it heightens you to the awareness of being more able to connect with people on that level as opposed to doing the opposite, if that makes sense. So there's some people that also when we're confronted with this, they're like,
Well, there's also the people who believe they are their fucking story.
Mm.
Because they've been running it for so long and telling themselves the same thing for so long.
Yeah.
And they have so many registered feelings and emotions around what happened to them that they are convinced they are their story.
They identify so
when
much
you,
with
when
them.
You say this sort of stuff, you know, in a forum like this, we know that it rubs people up the wrong way and the reason that it rubs them up the wrong way is because they are, you know, they identify with the story, because they've just fucking told themselves for so long that this is what has defined me and this is who I am. And I'm loyal to this story. Mm. Therefore, I'm loyal to the trauma. I'm loyal to the event. And who the fuck are you to tell me otherwise? Mm. And what do you know? And what I would say there is that what I do know is that you're not that story. And when we say that to people, if you think you are your story and you're convinced you are your story, and then somebody tells you you're not your story and your story is only half of what happened and that there's a blessing in it, when your story gets threatened, your life gets threatened.
Yeah,
so people think they're going to die because they are so convinced that they are their story. And it's funny, they fight for something that caused them so much pain. And the real pain only occurs because the person knows that they're not their story and they don't know how to get to that place.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So people, I've said it before, people get pissed off because they're pissed off, because they don't want to be pissed off, because they know that there's a space outside of where they're at with what has occurred, and they just don't know how to get there. Mm-hmm. And then when you're saying this stuff to them, the reason they get charged and emotional and want to fight back or attack back is because they think, if I couldn't do it, and you're a stranger and I've only just met you, what makes you think you can do it?
Mm.
You know, I'm a smart, intelligent, awake, aware human being, and I haven't been able to shake this crop for years.
Yeah.
You know, and this has defined my relationships. It's determined my fathering, my husband abilities. It's determined my love life. It's, if I look at my bank account, it's relative to what has gone on in the event. So I just don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I just don't know.
So the thing is that, realistically, when we're talking about their story, what we're saying is, because people are even challenged when we say story, because what happens is they're thinking that it's not a story, it's actually what happened to me, right? But the truth about it is we talk about it as being your story, because when you repeat it, when you tell that to people, when you go through it even in your own mind, even if you've never told a soul, it's only ever one-sided. You only can perceive it as being one way.
That's
and because you perceive it as being one way, you haven't seen the whole picture. And when you haven't seen and experienced the whole picture, you don't get that you are replaying only the negatives of the situation or only the positives of the situation over and over and over again in the loop. That's what creates your identity.
Right.
That's what we're stuck on. That's what we try and protect, because we think, if I'm not my story, if I'm not that identity – well, then who am I? What am I left with? I had a great example of a lady who, years and years ago, we were working on her brother, and her brother had done some stuff with her when she was younger, sexual stuff when she was younger. And we worked on it, we cleared it all up, right? And the next morning she came in to me and she said, "I am so pissed off with you." And I said, "Why?" And she goes, "Because for all of my life, every morning, I've woken up angry at my brother." And she said, "I tried to find that anger this morning and it's gone." And she looked at me and she goes, "Now what the fuck am I going to do?"
Yeah, yeah.
Because it was so much a part of her that it didn't she couldn't separate it. And it wasn't until she looked and it wasn't until she saw both sides of it that she was able to see it for what it was. It was just something that she had made she had made bigger than what it was. And I don't mean bigger as in worse, and I'm not trying to demean people's experience, because in us saying this, we're not saying that people haven't experienced traumatic events in their lives.
Well, perceived traumatic events.
Perceived traumatic events in their lives. What we're saying is that whatever it has been that you have experienced, there is another way to look at it. And that doesn't mean that we're advocating that it's a free-for-all, because once you have that experience, you realize the truth about that it can't, it's not a free-for-all. It's just at what amount am I going to carry this around for me and have this hanging over me for the rest of my life? It's just not what I want to be doing. Did you notice that for you when you had a pretty massive story?
Yeah.
You know, we've spoken about it on these as well, and you speak about it a lot. But It's not like you realize that, oh my God, now I can just do whatever I want. If that was perfect, does that mean I could do whatever I want?
Yeah, no, because, but like I said, the reason we don't do that is because we have a conscience. And your conscience is a very, very important thing because it's a very, very good guide. Your conscience is how your intuition and your instinct help govern your life and keep you out of harm. And out of harm's way. Does that make sense? So you need a conscience.
And it's like we talk about a lot, your own inner judge and jury.
Yeah.
You know?
Because when you go against your own inner judge and jury, you cause yourself an injury, you know, where, you know, inside of yourself, you're injured, you know, because of, excuse me, because of how you've, you know, you're seeing things, you know, you're harming yourself. You know, that stuff has to take, it takes from your energy, you know, it takes from who you are.
I think that's a big, I think that's such a big part of why I love what we do is because when you see the lightness on people's faces because they're not, no longer holding down all this shit that they've been carrying, this story that they've been carrying around for so long, you really see how much, how much time we actually spend pushing all this stuff down. So, I suppose final words. What would you say, like final words and summaries, like for what we've just said today?
Well, you know, there's a law that governs this, and it's called. I think it's any action is alone sufficient, right? So what that means is that no matter what, even if you don't take any action, it's alone sufficient for. You're always, your presence here on earth is in the world is always going to, you know, is always going to make a difference no matter what. But if you take some action and that action is balanced and it comes from empathy and love and care and understanding of you, firstly yourself and then ultimately everybody else, you know, that's the place you want to be getting to an understanding that no matter what happened, it was perfect and you're extraordinary and you're amazing. You're awake, alive. You're a human soul, as I say all the time, inside of a human form, and you're getting around here. And how lucky are you? You know,
I think that's it for me too. It's like, I just, for me, it's about giving everyone the opportunity to know that there's a possibility, that there is that opportunity to see your life in another way, and that doesn't mean that it's about condemning or condoning anything. It's just about seeing. That love is all there is. And if you look, you see that love is all there is. Love is the only way.
Cool. Okay. Take care.
Good way to end on our little
escapade.
Little slogan. Love is the only way.
Yes. See you, kids.
Cool. See you, Mitchie.